This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The number of Americans collecting disability payments has reached a new high of 11 million. For every 13 workers in the United States, one person collects federal disability benefits instead of working. If a new state were formed with all the people collecting disability checks, it would be the eighth largest state in the country. Federal disability checks are supposed to help those physically incapable of supporting themselves. But it is preposterous to think that all 11 million beneficiaries are unable to work. Americans today are no less able than 30 years ago, and workplaces have become more accommodating of disabled employees. Yet since the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the number of people taking federal tax dollars through disability programs has more than doubled. Each month, there are 100,000 more disability claims than there are new jobs created. Disability awards for heart disease and cancer have roughly the same frequency as they did 30 years ago, but benefits for mental illness have increased 177%. It looks like some able-bodied people may be abusing the system. Disability benefits are funded by payroll taxes. Job-creating employers and hard-working employees are bearing the burden. Each misleading disability claim prevents industrious Americans from being able to support their families. The abuse of the federal disability system hurts more than the workforce. It also hurts the severely disabled, who really are incapable of working. The disability program is on track to go broke in 3 years. When it does, many veterans who were severely wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with other legitimately disabled people, will lose their financial stability. Our elected officials need to reform the system so that the available money can be spent on the truly disabled.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at egoforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Friends, it is Monday, July 22nd, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. I appreciate you joining me today at RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. You've no doubt noticed the new format. People hate change, but this is a good thing. RBN has signed a contract with Cumulus Media Networks, and that means that 4,000 new affiliates may be able to pick up any RBN program. I'm sure that most of the listeners know that Helen Thomas died on Saturday. I had the great pleasure of interviewing her on August 5th, 2011. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com, or you may go to SpingolaSpeaks.info. One of our listeners created this latter site. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com. Clint, welcome to the program. Clint's not on. Do you want to get him? Okay. Clint has written a new article that I draw your attention to, call your attention to. It's called Detroit, the Latest Bankruptcy Lie. And this is, you know, we've all heard about Detroit and how it is just disintegrating into nothing but torn up streets, broken down buildings, burned out buildings, poverty, gangs. It's turned into, well, perhaps it's a model of what the rest of the country is going to look like. Let's hope not. But they've been talking about this bankruptcy, and Clint is going to tell us about it. Is he on yet? Okay, he'll be on in just a minute. Anyway, go to realityblogger.wordpress.com, and I recognize that we do have a new program schedule, and it's bound to have a few kinks in it at the beginning. Today is the very first day, but I'm sure that we will all get used to it. We have just different time schedule, different break schedule. The commercials will probably remain the same. Do we have Clint? Yes, okay. Clint, welcome to the program.
Why, thank you very much.
Okay. So tell us about Detroit.
You ever been there?
I was there. The last time that I was there probably was in 1994. I went up there for a quilt show. It was all right then. I don't think that I wouldn't go to Detroit now, let's put it that way.
Mm. Well, you know, soon it will be probably the Model Agenda 21 city being built to the sky as opposed to be building outwards. You know, one of the things I'm starting to realize is that, you know, the model of the economy or the model of a good economy, according to government, is always based in expansion. Gotta expand. If the GDP doesn't grow, that means we have a poor economy. da-da-da-da-da, the old 1-2 trick. And, you know, really, it wouldn't be so bad if we had a bad year with the GDP. What it would mean is that we'd actually be paying attention to our infrastructure and actually be, you know, doing something about it. Well, yeah, unfortunately for a corporation that, you know, and of course the corporation, the purpose of a corporation is to always benefit its shareholders or to, you know, make a profit, because then otherwise it's not a viable corporation. And that's what we have as government. So we, not necessarily shareholders per se, but you get the picture. So, I mean, really, what we've got going here is expansion in Detroit. It appears to be destruction. It appears to be waste and pestilence. But if you think about it, it's kind of like the old Phoenix rising from the ashes. There's no way for you to expand these massive cities, you know, more than they are without eventually, you know, sort of like a flower where its petals start wilting on the outside, so that the center's support structure can remain intact and have all the power and nutrients. Well, you know, that's kind of what's happening in Detroit. I think in Detroit, what you're seeing is going to be the model city or the model format for the future, basically. I think you're going to start to see this happening from the center of each city. Salt Lake City is a perfect example, where they're starting to build all these Agenda 21 housing projects that are going up instead of out, of course. And so I think that's what's happening in Detroit. In other words, in order to expand and keep that expansion going, eventually, you're going to have to fold back in on yourself so that you can keep expanding. But you know, what are they doing? They're tearing down old houses so that they can build new houses. Well, that's expansion. I mean, it's at the expense of the people, of course. But government is at the expense of the people. So, I mean, we pay for it. So I think that's what we're really seeing in Detroit is just, you know, the same old, and what we're going to see is basically a beacon, a light to the world that shows that the Phoenix can rise from the ashes and that we can have a model Agenda 21 beautiful city where people live in compartmentalized dwellings and all that. That's kind of what I'm seeing happening there. I'm sure you want to talk about the CAFR.
Right. Well, this kind of reminds me of China. I mean, they're building up instead of out. And I think that we also see this in downtown, the downtown area of Chicago, where they tore down all of these old, terrible, disabled high-rises. And particularly in South Chicago, they put up a lot of new buildings, a lot of yuppie establishments are there. So anyway, talk about the bankruptcy. Or the lack thereof.
Well, and I mean, of course, you know, this all has to do with the bankruptcy. See, I think the most common misconception that people have, and I kind of just figured this out recently, is like, oh, that's why people get confused, is because they look at a city like Detroit and they equate the decay of the city to that. Well, if the city is decaying, then the government must also be decaying. In other words, because the city is not being upkept by government, who does nothing more than provide that service to the people, and obviously it's not providing that service, we equate the financial stability of that government to the decay of the city, which is absolutely has nothing to do, of course, with the city itself. So how do we put that into terms that we can understand? Well, the government of a city is the legal fiction. It is a corporation. It is nothing but a set of paper that assigns certain authorities to certain people to do certain jobs. The city is real. It's tangible. It's things. It's buildings. It's parks. It's people. It's all of the things that make up a city. The government, again, it's just a shadow. It's just it's a legal fiction. If you understand what that means, then you understand that it's completely detached from the actual look, feel, and what the city actually is. The government can either spend its money on keeping the city up and the infrastructure up, or it can spend its money however it chooses. Well, governments across America have chosen and actually are required by law, that's the horrible part, to invest their money instead of spending it for taxpayer needs and services. Okay, that's the same thing with Detroit. Detroit is certainly not bankrupt. What Detroit is telling people is that because of our budget situation, because we, when we look at our projected future, you know, expenses and liabilities and assets, and when we balance those out, as you can see on our budget report, we're going to be in the red year after year. We have all this debt, and probably one of the worst tricks they do is this. This is very, it's all the rage. Whoa, that was quick.
That was real quick. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes, and then you can tell us about what, that they're really just withholding services. Okay, mm-hmm. Be right back. 3 minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean, if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
We are back. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com, and he's written a fabulous article, as always, and it is entitled, Detroit, the Latest Bankruptcy Lie. So, what are they pulling here?
Well, you know, one of the things that I was very happy, I did a movie, it was quite a while ago, it was called The Great Pension Fund Hoax. It was my, sort of my continuation of the Corporation Nation. And in it, I covered basically the major pension funds in the United States, all the investments that they have, of course. And, you know, it's just incredible to see firsthand what government has as far as investments. And of course, pension funds, like it or not, folks, it's just not your money. It's a contribution that you make. And of course, contribution is something that you give, not that you keep. So unfortunately, pension funds have been a massive, massive thing set up to benefit government, not necessarily people. Now, benefits are a funny thing because, you know, like, since we are citizens, we get benefits. But by accepting benefits, we're also accepting everything else that comes along with that, which is, you know, pain, punishment, taxes, extortion, and all that stuff. So, you know, to get one thing that's good, you pretty much, with government, you have to take 10 things that's bad, that are bad. So, likewise, with pensioners, I mean, you know, you're basically at the whim of government, and what's happening with the pension system is something incredible that I don't think a lot of people really can see, and that is one of the things I predicted at the end of that movie was that the post office, they're basically purposefully bankrupting the post office. Bankrupt's probably a strong word, but they're putting it into a state of financial hardship. And what they did, according to their own CAFR, their Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for the post office, was that they increased the amount of money that the post office must pay to pre-fund the pensions. In other words, instead of making payments as they always have done, because you got to remember, I guess we have to lay down the foundation here. Pension funds, the reason that government has such a bureaucracy, the reason that government wants so many employees, that it creates so many things and little, you know, districts and all these different things, associations, that it needs these employees, is because for every employee it hires, it's going to tax the people to pay for the pension benefit. So while the pensioner, the employee of government, is contributing to the pension fund, the taxpayers also match or completely pay for if that employee is not actually paying. Like judges don't pay into their fund. It's strictly the people that pay into the most judges' pension funds. They don't have to pay for it themselves. So that's a tax. And it's like in California, it's literally billions upon billions of dollars that the people of California are paying into the pension system on behalf of the government or the employee. Of course, the problem with that is that that's not the employee's money. That's taxpayer money that's going into the pension system for the purpose of investing. And this is very important because as the tax money goes in, it goes right back out into the form of buying stock, ownership stock in corporations, or into such things as corporate bonds. And we've talked about that before, where a corporate bond is basically a low-interest loan simply to a corporation. So when Hershey Corporation decided to move to Mexico, it didn't really want to, but government kind of insisted, and it gave it a low-interest loan out of the pension fund system to move to, I believe it was Mexico. Even as Mr. Hershey was saying, no, we are Hershey, Pennsylvania, we're not leaving. Well, guess what? Government, because it's the main shareholder and it's the one that funds all the expansion for all these corporations through corporate bonds, which is taxpayer money, of course. That's how the economy works. That's how the system works. That's how all these corporations were able to go to China. That's how all these corporations are able to get money to expand, is through your taxpayer money, because you are being taxed and that money is going into the pension system. So for every employee that we have, the government has in the pension system, of course, that's more taxpayer money. If you contemplate how much money is actually being collected in taxation, on the federal level, just the federal level, we pay more for federal pensions than we do for education. Okay, that's how
it shows.
And that is not a joke. That is true. True statement. Okay, so what do we have? So I was so pleased and yet horrified when I saw that I was right. The pension fund for the post office, or excuse me, the CAFR for the post office actually said that, well, you know, Congress doesn't have to, but it's forcing us to pre-fund our pensions. What does that mean? That means that instead of waiting for their money, now the government is forcing the post office to pre-fund. That means they have to put all of their income, all of their tax money and everything else, they have to put that, all of their revenue, I should say, they have to put that into the pension system. And that's the federal pension system. And so instead of waiting, say, 10 or 20 years to get that money, the government is getting it now. And that's taxpayer money. That is not necessarily the employee money, because the employees pay that out of their own pocket. So we're talking about the tax base that's being put into the pension systems. And now government's getting this big lump sum of money that it can invest now instead of over time. You see how that works?
Sure.
Well, what did the post office have to do? You see, people don't understand. Government loves debt. We're all debt slaves. I mean, that's pretty obvious by now, I'm sure, to all your listeners. But government absolutely adores debt because it borrows from itself. And then it pays itself interest. And then it borrows again and it loans that money. It'll borrow money and then loan that money. I mean, if you can get a loan at 2% interest, then you can loan out that same money for 5% interest. Great, right? I mean, it's government. We're going to make a 3% profit just by doing nothing but borrowing money and then investing money. That's what government's doing. It's not taking care of your streets and your potholes and your street lamps. That's why Detroit looks like what it does. That's why my city is starting to look like that. The only thing they are spending money on, unfortunately, is cameras and antennas.
Yes. And, surveillance.
And metrics. I mean, I was just looking at the Department of Defense and how much they spend compared to everybody else, and they're, I mean, it's probably, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 times more money than they spend on everything else. It's ridiculous what we're spending on that. Meanwhile, the cameras are up there, but the street underneath is going to decay because they're not fixing it, because they're spending everything on this surveillance grid. So,
wow.
So what did the post office have to do? And this, of course, has to do with Detroit. That's why I'm saying it. But the post office had to then borrow money through a bond. I think it was a bond, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been something else. In order to fund the pensions.
All righty. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Our guest today is Clint Richardson, and please pick it up from where you left off. That was a little bit more than 3 minutes, but we'll make this all work.
So how was the, again, this applies to Detroit in the same way. How was the post office able to fund this new requirement where the Congress is actually making them pre-fund their pensions, remembering that the pension system is nothing more than government's massive investment scheme? And they actually call the pension system a scheme. That's the official word for it, legal term, scheme. And, how can the post office possibly pay this pre-fund this entire, amount that was supposed to be paid over 5 or 10 years, whatever? Well, of course, it had to borrow money. Well, guess what? The post office can only borrow, is only allowed by law, their congressional law, to borrow a certain amount of money. And last year, it reached its debt limit. So if you don't understand what just transpired, here it is. Congress required the post office to pre-fund all of its pension requirements that were going to be due over decades. Post office couldn't do that, therefore it had to borrow money. And when, of course, a government entity borrows money, it generally borrows money from either government itself through other pension funds or through a bank that government is a main investor in. If you look at the pension, if you look at pension plans, if you look at their asset holdings, you'll see that just in the CalPERS, for instance, California, the largest pension fund, over $1 billion, I believe, about $900 million in Bank of America, for instance. That's ownership stock in Bank of America worth $900 million. Okay, Citibank, I think, was over $1 billion. So now we go back. So where's the post office going to get a loan? Well, it's probably from one of the banks that it's invested in and is invested in collectively over all the pension funds and all the other government investments out there. You see how this is a incestuous sort of snake eating its own tail kind of thing for government, where it's going to say, well, post office, we're going to require you to pre-fund the pensions. And the purpose of that, of course, is to invest in more stock in the same bank that you're borrowing from. It's really an ingenious system, and it is a very covert system that no one seems to grasp what's happening. And, you know, I kind of compare the whole pension system. It's a similar system in its duplicity and its rape of the populace of its money. It's kind of similar to unions in the notion that, you know, of course a lot of people benefit from them, but of course benefits usually mean that something worse, much worse, is happening in the background. That's been my understanding of how government works anyway. So that's what happened with the post office. Now the post office is at its debt limit, has huge debts, huge interest, which is going to pay to some other corporation or government. And it's all a chain, and it's all going to be just profit for the same bunch of people. So now we go to Detroit. What's happening in Detroit and other cities across the nation? Well, they're being required to pre-fund their pensions.
Okay, but getting back to the post office, because it has all this debt, it's going to start withdrawing services.
Of course.
We'll all understand, because didn't they say that they had a budget problem? And so we're all going to say, oh, okay, we just will get mail 3 days a week or whatever mm-hmm. they come up with.
Okay, and so let's take this, and so that people understand, again, the duality of government. Because what we have in America is the best way to explain it is a for-profit and a non-profit. Okay, your non-profit part of government, or your governmental part of government, is the part that provides you with the things that you'd expect from government, the lawful sort of things. That's a very small part of government. Everything else, when it comes to their financial reporting, goes into the non-governmental, what I say is for-profit. Now, of course, a government can't make a profit, which is where the investment scheme comes in, because as long as you're taking that money and investing it, then you don't have to show it as an excess or a profit. And they then take those investment funds and they hide them by making them off limits in the budget report. So your budget report, by the time you see the budget report, those funds are not included as something that can be spent for taxpayer services. Because again, we're not talking about taxpayer services. We're talking about services provided to customers. So every single person out there that's listening to this, you must understand above all else that you are not a taxpayer. You are a dualistic commodity to government. You are both a taxpayer, and you're getting the services provided for that, and you are also a customer of a for-profit corporation called government. This is the service end of government. Let's take a perfect example of that, which is the post office. Okay, how many people out there know what the general post office is? Probably not many. But the fact of the matter is that if you go into your post office right now today, go through the hassle of going and getting in line and talking to the person at the desk, you're going to understand what the dualistic nature of government is, because all you have to do is ask very politely, can you please tell me where the general post office is? Well, what's the general post office? Well, see, first-class mail is the standard. It is a service provided by government. It is not necessary for you to send something first-class mail. If you go and you ask for the general post office, here's what you're going to find. He's going to point to a small little teeny little hole in the wall, probably, or possibly it's behind the desk so that no one knows it's there. And when you ask, he's going to tell you that it's a 3-cent stamp, because the general post office is the lawful post office. Everything else the post office does is illegal or a for-profit aspect of the dualistic nature of government. The general post office is governmental. Okay, it's the old post office. It's the lawful one. When you use it, you don't use a zip code. And if you do use a zip code, you put it in brackets to signify that you're not sending it in the United States. In other words, this is the post office of the states, the old Pony Express, if you will. Okay? So you can actually go into the post office, ask for the general post office and the postmaster, and actually send a letter for 3 cents with a 3-cent stamp. But you have to do it correctly, and you can ask them, and they'll tell you whether they want the zip code on there or not. Just when you go in there, don't put your zip code on your letter. Most people write zip code exempt or they put brackets around, but I would actually ask the post office. You will see how government works. It is always, in every case, a dualistic thing. One for taxpayers, for lawfully acting as government, and then 99% of the time, it's acting in a for-profit, non-governmental function.
The clerks at the post office would know what you're talking about when you go in and say, I want to send this letter via the general post office?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they don't, or if they pretend not to know, then you ask for the general post office master. I can't remember the name of the guy that's actually – it's very similar to the court. There's a court clerk, and then there's clerks of the court. The only person you should be dealing in court is the lawful clerk or court clerk. Everyone else is a for-profit agency in the courts offering a service. You pay for that service. But in the general, in the actual lawful part of the court system, the court clerk is the highest official in – he's over the judges. And you never have to pay a fee to go to court. That's the only court anybody should be in. It's the court of record or public record. Yet we don't understand that we've been tricked into this dualistic nature of government to where we all participate in the – we accept a service or a benefit like first-class mail or like the court of equity, and therefore we have to accept all of the rights that come with that. Well, what are those rights? Pain, punishment, taxes, extortion. So by going to the mail and putting a zip code, you're basically saying, hey, I'm a 14th Amendment citizen operating in commerce within the United States jurisdiction, which is Washington, D.C. I'm a resident there because a resident has a zip code. My domicile might be in California or Utah, but my residency is in Washington, D.C. And I'm using my zip code, and I'm sending a letter first class, which is the default. They're never going to tell you that you can send a letter 3 cents. And the only way to do that is to stand in line, of course, and utilize the official post office. But for you, you know, because it's convenient and because the because everything is, you know, we've based our society on being served and ease of things, we don't realize that nothing we're doing anymore is in the lawful government. We're all participating in this dualistic sort of alter ego of government, which is a for-profit thing. So that's the post office. And when we're talking about the post office and we're talking about all this funding that it's doing, that's all coming – all the money that it's bringing in is by providing these services. The only part that's going to go bankrupt about the post office is the for-profit section, because that general post office is never going to go away. The general post office is absolutely intricate to the entire legal structure and function of government. So who cares about the post office? If you know how to use the government correctly, you don't have to worry about all of this business stuff. But that's the problem. We don't know how to use government. We don't realize that the United States is a corporation offering services and that our republics are not federal. They are in each state. The Constitution is very clear that it will protect the republics in the states. It does not say the federal government is a republic. It says it will protect the republics. But we are not operating in that government. And this is, again, every aspect of this, every aspect of government has this dualistic nature.
That is just amazing, Clint. All righty, we are going to a break. We'll be back maybe in 3 minutes.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you,
If you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website is Reality Blogger, with just one G, realityblogger.wordpress.com. Okay. So yes. Let's pick it up where you left off. So that was 4 minutes. I'm getting this program scheduled down. I think this is something that we can really do. Well, we have no choice.
Well, you know, back to Detroit, considering what we now know happened to the post office, considering we now understand that when we're talking about the pre-funding of pensions, we are really talking about the government investment scheme that it uses to collect taxes from the people, not... This has nothing to do with the employees. The employees are, unfortunately, and it's not an insult in any way. It's just what Lenin called useful idiots, people who supported communism and Bolshevism without knowing what it actually was from way over here while millions of people were getting killed. Well, pensioners, unfortunately, support this system to their death sometimes because it's going to give them benefits in their later years. It's going to give them health benefits, and that's very understandable. It's very understandable. You think that you're participating in something good, and you think that you're participating in something that you are funding and that's not harming anyone else. Well, the truth of the matter, when you actually understand and you actually look at the financial statements, you understand how much taxpayer money goes to fund pensions, again, more than education in the American, in just the federal pensions, the federal budget for education, Department of Education. So you have to understand that the pension system is nothing more than a way to collect taxpayer money. The more employees, the more tax you can get. Okay, very important to understand that, because the pension system, again, that is where the meat of government investments happen. All across the nation, all the different pension funds. And of course, CalPERS is a whole other animal and beast that you'd have to probably go to Walter Berrien to really understand what that is, because it's got both its national and its international branches. And when CalPERS went offshore and became sort of a harbor for all these governments to invest in, at the time in the 1980s, it had some ridiculous amount of money in it that you would not believe for the 80s. And of course, now it's at $250 billion or something like that in investments. I mean, this is where all the money's going. But the offshore, the international CalPERS is where the real money's at, because all these different governments are able to invest offshore, and they don't actually have to show it as an asset until it comes due. It's a very corrupt system. Hard for me to explain, because I've never really looked into it. But Walter Berrien sure can explain it well. But the point is that the pension scheme across the world, and this includes the Social Security. Social Security is also a pension, and of course, Social Security is in 180 countries around the world now, and it's run by the World Bank through the United Nations. Okay, every country basically is now in the Social Security system, and that was created by the League of Nations, and 8 years before it was put into effect in the United States. So we have to understand what these things are. They're not.
Oh, really? As far back as the League of Nations, not the United Nations?
Sure. Oh. That was a long time ago.
Yes.
I wrote about that a long time ago, called the Social Security, the Mark of the Beast, if anybody wants to look that up. And actually, it was Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather, I believe, was one of the authors of that, if I'm not mistaken. So you have a very ancestral, group
indeed.
Of people. Back to Detroit, though. So now that we understand that, we have the same thing happening in Detroit. So using they're pulling on the heartstrings of people and saying, well, we have to fund the pensions. I mean, it's for the employees. We have to. All you taxpayers out there, you have to let us steal all the money now instead of waiting until, the amortization schedule happens. You have to let us take all your tax money now instead of waiting. It's for the employees. Well, actually, what it's for is to invest. That's all it's for. Okay, when you're talking about pre-funding of pensions, it's so that the government can take taxpayer money and invest it. That money does not belong to the employee. It has nothing to do with the employee. In fact, for the most part, what the employees pay into it is generally what comes back to the employees in benefits, minus a little bit. I mean, everything else is made up for by this massive investment scheme. So the return on investment pays for whatever is left over. Everything else is profit for government, or in this case, because government can't make a profit officially, it's just this giant investment fund. And what's interesting about that is you don't consider it as a profit. You consider it as Walter says, it's a power base. It's a massive investment fund when you consider it all collectively. And again, from that massive amount of taxpayer money that just disappears out of the system and into the pension system, that's where your corporate bonds come from. That's where Microsoft and Walmart and Raytheon and General Electric and all these major corporations, that's how they expand, by getting very low interest loans from pension funds and other government investments. So it's a full circle again. It's very incestuous. And that's where we're at in Detroit. So they're using that as just one excuse to show that the city of Detroit, and when I say the city of Detroit, again, separate the actual city, which is the buildings and all the land and all the equipment and all that, separate all of that from the city, which is the government, because the government, again, is just a piece of paper. It's a corporate fiction. It is a way to generate revenue and then invest that revenue. That's what government is. It's
right.
Basically organized crime.
Crime. Mm-hmm.
If government makes the laws and then exempts itself from its own laws, that is the doorway to organized crime. It is the lawlessness of law, because their rules don't apply. Here's a perfect example. Now, I wrote a huge thing on the Stockton bankruptcy, and which is why I'm not doing it on the Detroit one, although I kind of wish it was reversed. But the Stockton was another huge city. What I found is, as with all government things, compared to the laws that we must follow and compared to the laws that corporations must follow, a government corporation or municipal corporation is what they're called, they have a whole other set of definitions for each of the words. So if I were to say insolvent, Deanna, if I were to say that bank over there is insolvent, what does that mean? Do you know?
Well, usually we think of insolvency as something they don't have any more money, they're tapped out.
Can't pay their bills, aren't generating a profit, right?
Right.
Well, now that we know what we know, let's read what solvency or insolvent means for government. Because you see, it's dualistic. For government, it means a completely different thing than for the normal people. All right, so Section 109C of the Bankruptcy Code in U.S. Code sets forth eligibility requirements. Okay, so if you're going to be eligible for a Chapter 9, which is municipal bankruptcy, if you're going to be eligible for that, you have to show certain things. Okay, here's the big hint right here about how government works. It says, one, the municipality must be specifically authorized to be a debtor by state law or by a governmental officer or organization empowered by state law to authorize the municipality to be a debtor. Okay, so that tells us that municipalities are debtors, right? They're not government in the lawful sense. Okay, they're still doing these lawful things like we talked about with the post office and all that, but they're operating as a private non-governmental function, which makes them a debtor. Therefore, they can have bonds, and they can invest, and they can borrow, and all that. So they're acting almost as banks, if you will. Governments are basically acting as banks. So first thing we have to know is that municipalities are debtors. So when you think of government, don't think of it as some thing that has this, you know, eminent power. All it is a debtor. It's a corporation that is allowed to be a debtor. Okay? That should tell you a lot. If you think about that for a while, that should tell you everything.
All righty. We are going to a station break, station ID. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.